Hello once again, everyone. This is Mike Crowe along with Amanda Currier.
Hey, guys.
Amanda, would you tell listeners, you know, we started the podcast a bit ago. Would you tell listeners, I know most people know about you in Weatherford, but just share with the listeners about yourself, where you're from, what brought you to Weatherford, those kind of things.
Yeah, so I've been in Weatherford for a little over 13 years now. And so I moved here in 2010 to come to college. And so I went to college at Southwestern. And then, you know, started getting involved in the community. And so, I mean, Weatherford, I really kind of consider Weatherford home now.
Okay.
And so I've been here and gotten involved in.
Where was home before?
And so I'm originally from, and so I was born in Kansas is where I was born. And so I lived there up until fourth grade. And then my dad got a job in Oklahoma City working for OU. And so we moved to Moore. And so I graduated from Moore, went to South Moore. And so kind of gotten involved in a church out there in Newcastle.
Okay.
And so, and then came out here for college and then kind of how I got involved at Southwestern was the summer, my senior year, I was working out at Camp Sooner. I was on their staff, and that's the church camp that I'd grown up going to all through middle school, high school. And the youth pastor here had started, I think that might have been their first, maybe second summer that they had gone to Camp Sooner. And so I kind of got connected with them. At that point, I'd already known that I was moving to Weatherford to go to college there. And so the timing of everything was just kind of perfect. And so I kind of, before I even got here, I kind of had a church to get involved with. And so I'd been involved in children's ministry, kind of helping with. At that time, they had a divorce care program going on. So I helped with the kids side of it. And so we'd have like little lessons for the kids that are, you know, going through their parents are, you know, separating, that kind of stuff. And so while the parents met, me and a couple other people would meet up with, and we'd do a little lesson with with the kids. And so that's kind of how I got involved at Southwest Christian Church. And so I've just kind of been here.
Yeah. So you moved from Newcastle, I think you said, to Southwestern whenever you transitioned to Southwestern to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And easy transition for you, I suppose. They're both were similar churches as far as you know, theology goes and things of that sort. What was the biggest, was there a big culture change from Moore, Oklahoma City, to Weatherford?
And so really not like a whole lot of culture. I mean, growing up in Oklahoma City, Moore area, I mean, obviously it's a little bit bigger.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, coming up from a 6A high school, graduating with, you know, over, you know, 800-900 students.
Right.
Compared to, you know, Weatherford, they've got a class of, you know, maybe 150, 200 if they're, you know, a good year. And so, but really, I mean, it wasn't a huge, you know, change other than just, you know, the size of things. You know, there's not a whole lot of deal on the weekends, and you tend to go to the city more than hang out here.
Yeah, yeah. What would you say keeps you here at Southwestern? I know you said you mentioned working with kids at divorce care and in that ministry here at Southwestern Christian Church, but what keeps you here? That was how long ago when you moved here?
Yeah, and so, I mean, really, I mean, 2010, so, I mean, okay. About 13 years.
So you've been here for quite a while,
and so
you've
seen
a lot of things, and
you know,
what keeps you at Southwestern?
And, I mean, really, I mean, it probably took me a good, you know, 4 or 5 years to actually, even though I was involved, I was doing stuff, I probably didn't really feel, like, connected to the church until, you know, probably 4 or 5 years into it. Just, I mean, I'm pretty, like, introverted, quiet, and so I tend to, you know, stick to myself, but, you know, as I got closer to, you know, getting to know families and things and started coming out of my, you know, shell a little bit, it made me, you know, made me get connected to those, you know, feeling like, hey, like, I do have a purpose here, like, I can help out, I can get to know, you know, people, meet with them, you know, outside of just Sundays and Wednesdays, but it's about, you know, doing life with each other. It's not just, you know, showing up on Wednesday nights or Sunday mornings and saying like, oh, hey, how are you? You know,
mm-hmm.
you know, just the things that you're supposed to say, but it's actually, you know, doing life with these people. And I think that's one of the main reasons why I have kind of stayed around so long is because, I mean, we have gone through a lot of changes. I mean, I've seen, you know, 3 or 4 youth pastors come through here, different, you know, even college ministries has changed, and where, you know, there's definitely been times where it would have been easy to walk away, to, you know, it's a lot easier to leave than it is to stay and stick right. it through those tough times, those changes of like, okay, like, what is this going to look like in, you know, a month or even, you know, next week? And so it's just kind of like, you know, I felt like, you know, I felt connected. I felt like, you know, I was supported. I've been supported through, and even, I mean, everything that I've gone through, whether, you know, personal, you know, medical stuff, and the church has always been there to, you know, support me, whether I asked for it or not. They, mm-hmm. you know, they stepped. That's one of the things that, you know, I'm not very good at asking for help. I'm going to try to do everything on my own. I'm going to, you know, tough it out. I'm like, oh, I don't need help. I can handle this on my own.
Right. Most of us that way, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to give over that control of, okay, if I'm not handling it, you know, someone else is going to do it. They're going to mess it up. It's not going to go the way I want it to go. And so that's one of the things that I had to learn is, okay, like, I have to accept help. Like, I can't do everything on my own. And so that's one of the things that they were good about stepping up whenever, even if I didn't necessarily ask for it.
Yeah, very generous people, very gracious people.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's great to hear. Can you, you mentioned that there was a time that things were in flux a little bit from, you know, season to season. I think you even said from week to week. If you had to gauge it today, has that changed a little bit, or do you think it's still that way?
I mean, I think as we've, you know, even like these past, you know, 2-3 years, whenever we were going through looking for a pastor, at one point there was, I don't even think we had one person technically full-time on staff at one point. And so at that time it was like, you know, the people that did stick around, it's like, okay, like, hey, the people that are here now are the ones that, okay, like, hey, like, we can't mourn the people that walked away. We can't, you know, we can't focus on that, but we've got to focus on, okay, what can we do to, you know, survive for this next week? And I think, you know, we've definitely become stronger. We're not as, we're not having to, like, you know, I feel like we're a lot more stable. We're in, like, a, you know, comfortable situation now to where, like, hey, like, we can kind of focus on, okay, like, what do we want the future to look like? Where do we want, you know, continue to grow, you know, 2-3 years down the road, instead of focusing on, okay, like, what's, you know, 2 weeks from now going to look like.
Right.
And so I feel like, you know, right now we're starting to get back to, I wouldn't say normal, but, you know, like a more comfortable situation to where we can kind of start looking at what that bigger picture looks like and what God, you know, wants us to do. How can we have an influence on the community that we're, you know, we're surrounded with?
Good, good. Before we talk about that a little bit, let me just ask you one more personal thing that I'm kind of interested in, and that's a personal walk with Jesus. You mentioned the growing up in Kansas, moving to Moore, going to Newcastle, then moving out here when you started college. Can you share a little bit about your personal walk with Jesus and what that means to you, and just a general question about faith maybe?
Yeah, and so, a little bit about my testimony. I mean, I didn't necessarily, I mean, I kind of grew up in and out of church. Whenever I was younger, I mean, I would remember going to, you know, VBS, or, you know, we went to church for, especially whenever I was really little. I grew up in a Baptist church, and so we went to church, you know, Sundays. Wednesdays, we'd do the after-school program there. But then once we moved to Oklahoma, you know, we started playing sports, and church just kind of became like, if we get there, we'll get there. If not, then, you know, we've got, you know, softball tournaments on the weekend, or basketball, or, you know, sports definitely kind of took the front row.
So this was right after 2000, mm-hmm. early 2000s, right?
Yeah, probably close to there. Mm-hmm. And so really, so I mean, I'd say I'm in between, you know, fourth through sixth grade, kind of my upper elementary school years. I really wasn't, you know, we weren't involved in church. We didn't have like a church home, church family. And so we just kind of, you know, did our own thing. And it really wasn't until I got into middle school is when one of my good friends invited me to go to start going to church with him to Newcastle. And so that's kind of when I started getting involved and got involved in their youth group. And so that's probably when, you know, I started kind of fully understanding, like, okay, what is, you know, reading the Bible and that kind of stuff, getting involved. And so it's probably that summer of my seventh grade years whenever I, you know, gave my life to Christ and, you know, actually started following him and kind of, but even then, like, I didn't necessarily have, you know how to read the Bible, I didn't have someone, you know, walking beside me.
Need
like
a little direction, right?
Discipling me.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of, you know, doing my own thing. And at that time, I was really the only person in my family that kind of went to church. And so I would go, you know, I'd wake up on Sunday mornings and a family from the church would swing by and pick me up. And so at that time, I didn't necessarily even have, like, the support. I mean, my parents weren't, like, condoning it or, you know, they weren't, like, you know, anti, you know, church or anything. It's just they didn't, you know, they didn't grow up going to church. They didn't, you know, it just wasn't something that they did. And so I didn't necessarily have that, you know, the, like, home support of, like, hey, like, this is how you read your Bible. This is, you know, what a quiet time looks like. And so all through, like, you know, junior high and high school, I was just kind of, you know, trying to figure it out on my own. And so then I get, you know, I come to college and I get involved in a college ministry. And so the Baptist Collegiate Ministry is kind of the one that I got heavily involved in. And I would say that's probably when my relationship with Christ, like, really started to grow. I started, you know, diving into it. And so one of the things that they had a like freshman ministry where, you know, you'd get a mentor, you kind of someone that you could walk along with, like, hey, like, this is what, you know, anything that you're struggling with, anything. And so that's kind of when I started having that growth in, you know, my walk with Christ. What does it look like to actually have a quiet time? What's the reason of it? You know, why am I supposed to, you know, spend, you know, 30, 40 minutes, like, reading the Bible? Like, no, I don't need, you know, I go to church on Wednesdays, Sundays, that should be enough. And so even then, so that's kind of one of the things that I try to, you know, as the youth pastor here, working with, like, the kids of, you know, especially those that just become new Christians, just kind of walking alongside them of, like, hey, like, this is what it looks like to be a Christian. This is, you know, some of the things that, you know, a lot of times we just think it's just like a checkoff list. Like, all right, I got that done for the day. This is done. Okay, I don't have to worry about this. But it's that relationship that you're trying to build.
No, I can really appreciate that you've been there, done that. You've got the T-shirt. You know, you didn't live up have the, you know, for lack of a better way to say it, a religious home life. But God was reaching out to you, and God changed your life, and now you perhaps can minister to those same kids that were in your situation now. You know, that's pretty cool to think that God has taken you down that path, and now you can resonate with them that maybe they don't have the home life that they should have either. So I appreciate that. So you're the youth minister here at Southwestern Christian Church. When did that happen? And tell me about your calling to that. Why move from, you know, working with kids during the divorce care now into junior high, senior high? What's that about?
Yeah, and so kind of, you know, going through those different changes that we had, going, you know, the opportunity came up to where our youth pastor at the time, you know, stepped away, and so it was just kind of a need. And so I had been, you know, and even, I mean, before I became, you know, the youth ministry, the, you know, the leader, I'd volunteered, I've been sponsored, you know, sponsored for the youth, gone to church camp, and got to know, you know, the kids. And so whenever that opportunity came up, I just figured, hey, like, this is, you know, someone that I have a passion for. I, I enjoy spending time with, you know, junior high and high schoolers. Because really at that age group, that's when their faith kind of starts to become their own faith.
Right.
You know, as children, you know, children's ministry, those kids, they don't really have the option of like, oh, I don't want to go to church today. I'm just going to stay home. And so it's kind of, you know, with their parents, you know, it's their parents' faith, kind of, in a sense. But as they get into middle school and high school, it kind of starts becoming their own. They start to find kind of their own identity of like, okay, what is it? What does this actually look like?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of what drew me to working with like the youth group of, and just kind of, it was just kind of the need. And I had, you know, felt that calling of like, hey, like you already know them. They have that relationship with you. And then where, even at that time, they've, like, I feel like the youth group has gone through so many changes, so many different, like, youth group. I thought it was, you know, good to, okay, like, they need some type of stability of, like, hey, like, instead of just kind of throwing someone in there that doesn't necessarily have those relationships with them already, then, you know, why not step up and, you know, serve in that way?
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad you, you know, listen to God's call on your life, and that he's, you know, in a greedy way, and from my perspective, I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that you're serving in that role. And we hope that's a long and fruitful blessing for you. I know it's blessed many others as well. And it seems like at Southwestern, I mean, we're not growing just in the children's department. We're also growing in the junior high, senior high mm-hmm. group as well. And so whoever's in that role that you find yourself in now has some, I would say big challenges ahead, but also some great opportunities ahead as well. So, again, thank you for being here and thank you for what you're doing. Let me ask you about, culture for a second. I want to take a left turn in just a moment, but I'll come back to that. But I just want to talk about culture for a second. As a youth minister here at Southwestern, or maybe it's even youth ministers that you've talked to that you know, or people that have poured into your life in a spiritual way. Tell us about your favorite things about ministry to junior high, senior high. Those are completely different in my mind. You know, you can minister to a sixth grader much different than you minister to a junior or senior in high school. And what's the biggest challenges you've experienced during your time?
Yeah, and so, I mean, really right now, the youth group that we have right now is pretty heavily middle school. We've got, you know, a few, probably three or four high schoolers in our group. And definitely, yeah, I mean, you take a seventh grader, eighth grader, and compare that to, you know, a junior, senior in high school, one, their attention span is going to be completely different, right. You know. And then even, like, where they're at spiritually, like, in their walk with Christ, which, I mean, even as, like, a pastor, you know, you have to deal with that as well. But trying to find, you know, different lessons, different topics that, okay, what is going to, you know, not completely go over the heads of the middle schoolers, but also you don't want to water it down too much either to where, you know, those high schoolers aren't getting anything out of the lesson. So I think that's one of the challenges of, you know, eventually I would love to, you know, have our youth group, you know, be big enough to where I can split it up into where, okay, we're going to have this, you know, big lesson conversation, and then we break it up into, you know, different, like, smaller groups to where, okay, I can split the middle schoolers up, and I can send them with, you know, one of my leaders in there, and they can have that conversation with the middle schoolers, and then I can take the high schoolers in. That way where you can kind of pinpoint the conversations that you're having with them to where, you know, everyone's getting something out of that conversation and to where, you know, you're not, you know, you're meeting their needs that they have
mm-hmm.
to allow them to continue to grow in that relationship with that they have.
What's your favorite thing to see in I'll give you a hypothetical for a second. Seventh grade, eighth grade kid, boy or girl, you choose. What do you hope to send them home with, so to speak, regarding their faith? I mean, you've got a limited amount of time. You know, we talk about time throughout the church, no matter what age. But I think in youth group, in you know, with teenagers, it's even more limited. And so if you think about that clock that's ticking and you've got a limited amount of time, what's your hope and desire for that seventh grade, eighth grade kid when they go away from Southwestern, or when they go back to a home such as you described earlier that has no religious bend one way or the another? What do you hope to see as a youth minister?
Yeah, and so one thing, I mean, in middle school, I mean, whenever you get in middle school, I feel like a lot of times their confidence level can be kind of, you know, not necessarily, you know, all the way there. And so giving them, trying to provide them the tools of like, hey, like, you know, people tend to look down upon you because you're young, or, you know, like, oh, you're just a middle schooler, you don't know anything. But give them the, you know, courage that, hey, like, you can go out there, you can go make a difference in the community, of whether that's, you know, on your school, on a sports team. And so one of the things that I try to, you know, point out to the kids is that you're always going to have some type of influence on people, whether that's a good influence or a negative influence.
Right.
And so you're the one that has control of, you know, how you act, how do you present yourself to, and then just giving them, you know, providing them those tools to go out and, you know, be disciples, to not be afraid to share the gospel with their friends at school, or, you know, on their sports team, and encourage them to, like, hey, like, you know, just have like a short conversation with them. It doesn't have to be this long 20-minute conversation. It just be like, hey, like, how's your day? Like, what can I do to, you know, to minister to you? How can I serve you today? And so just kind of trying to teach them those little, you know, things to where, you know, it doesn't take, you know, you don't have to be, you know, you don't have to be a pastor to, you know, to minister to people.
You can be though, right?
Maybe.
I hope you can. tell me about, I like the what you said about confidence, because I think, you know, one of the things that we've had conversations about in the past has been whether it's a junior high, senior high kid, or even an adult, one of the reasons that we don't share our faith with others is the lack of confidence, is the lack of identity in Christ, is we just don't know who we are, and we're listening more to Satan in our head than we are listening to the Holy Spirit. And so I really appreciate what you say about confidence. And I think it's so important that when our, you know, our junior high kids are, I think about junior high because I taught 6th through 8th grade in public school for a while. And I thought, how many people are struggling with their confidence or lack thereof? Along those same lines, let me ask you this. How did you learn that? You grew up in a Baptist church, you said, which most Baptist churches that I'm aware of, and I grew up in a Baptist church as well, so this is not anti-Baptist. I'm just curious your thoughts here in regards to your confidence as a minister of the gospel, specifically as a female. A lot of churches don't believe in leadership, particularly from a female. So how would you respond to that and say God has gifted you with leadership capabilities, and not only capabilities, but a calling on your life to lead from that perspective to both boys and girls in junior high, senior high?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think definitely, I mean, women in leadership roles is a very controversial topic. I mean, especially, I mean, if you go talk to like the older generations, they're like, oh, no, that's strictly, you know, it's only for men. Only men should be the ones, even like, you know, praying in front of the church, praying, you know, from the, you know, in front of people, or, you know, it should be a man praying. You shouldn't ever have, you know, a woman. And so, I mean, even in the Bible times, you know, God used, you know, tons of women, you know, to be leaders, whether it's in the Old Testament, I mean, with Ruth, where, you know, she was there to encourage, you know, Naomi, and even there's tons of, you know, women in the Bible that God uses. And I don't think it, you know, it shouldn't matter whether you're male or female, of whether God can use you or not.
But you would agree with me that the Bible is written from a certain perspective more geared toward males, whether it's a patriarchal society or the authors more masculine. Well, we don't have anything in Scripture, 66 books of the Bible that are written by females. I mean, obviously we have the book of Ruth that speaks about Ruth. It's not written by Ruth. We have the book of Esther that's not written by Esther, but it speaks about the leadership about Esther. So how do you, I mean, we could look back and say, well, that was antiquity or that was old school or that was this, that, and the other. And a lot of people choose to do that. They choose to just say, hey, this is now, that was then. But my question has to do with how do you, number one, have confidence in yourselves to lead the way that God has called you to lead in a society that's not necessarily favoring female leadership. And number two, you can say, well, okay, Ruth or Esther or, but those aren't church leadership roles. So specifically church leadership, you mentioned prayer in front of people. But more than prayer in front of people, I'm talking about leading a youth group, leading a, you know, what gives you, I'm being the devil's advocate of a can for a second. What gives you the right as a female to lead in a, and I'm going to be honest with you, in a society that males haven't been the leaders that we've been called to be?
Yeah. And so, I mean, I think it does go back to that. I mean, the confidence side of it is where, like, I know the gifts that God has given me. I know the, you know, the talents, the, you know, even the calling that God has given me. And luckily I am in a church that, you know, doesn't, you know, shun upon, you know, women being in those leadership positions, and where, you know, you kind of have to, a lot of times you have to be an advocate for yourself of where, like, hey, like, this is what God has called me to do, and you just kind of have to keep at it. You can't, you know, not letting other people kind of push you down or, you know, deflate what your thoughts are. But you have to, you know, and it does take that confidence to stand up for yourself, to say, like, hey, like, there's, you know, just because I'm a female doesn't mean I can't do just as good of a job, if not a better job, as, like, a guy that was in this position. And I mean, there's benefits to both, you know, men or women being in this position of, you know, leadership in a church.
How would you say that you've equipped yourself personally to not only lead, but just say something about how you mentioned that earlier, the personal walk that you've had with Christ, but how do you take those gifts that God has given you, and how are you intentional about honing those gifts?
Yeah. And so, I mean, one of the things that, I mean, this past semester, I just started, you know, taking classes at Liberty, and so just kind of getting into those biblical classes to where, you know, I've studied the Word, I've, you know, done quiet time, but I've never taken, you know, actually dove into, like, a deep level of, like, classes. And so just that's one of the things that I wanted to do just personally to how can I, you know, break down Scripture, how can I get into, you know, the theology side of things to be a better leader, to, you know, to hone into those different things of, okay, how do you serve? How do you lead, you know, other people, whether it's, you know, junior high and high schoolers, or even, you know, the coworkers that I work with on campus, or, you know, just the people that you interact with on a daily basis, and, you know, going beyond just that, you know, quiet time, or, but diving into the Scripture, meditating on it, and kind of looking at it, you know, in a deeper way.
Okay, good. So you mentioned a little bit about the, about to close here, but you mentioned a little bit about the makeup of your youth group here at Southwestern. If I was a family and checking out Southwestern and had some kids that are teenage years, and I was moving to Weatherford and looking to get my kids into a youth group, why would it be Southwestern Christian Church?
Yeah, and so, I mean, I feel like our youth group is very, you know, welcoming. And even, I mean, whenever I first started this youth group, we had, you know, 4 kids come in. And now, you know, I've got anywhere between 10 to 12 students going. But even, you know, no matter how many students I have, I'm always going to, you know, even if I have 1 student come, we're going to do the lesson. We're going to, you know, have that conversation. And even, I mean, I feel like having a smaller church, sometimes, you know, you can get to know the students on, you know, closer relationships. You can get to know them better than if I had, you know, 30 to 40 students coming.
Right.
It's not necessarily always about, you know, the numbers, but, you know, what type of relationships can you build with those students? And I feel like we are a close-knit, you know, youth group to where, you know, but even if someone like came in, like we're not gonna like, you know, push you out. We're gonna be welcoming, and even, you know, just kind of we're just kind of continuing to grow and kind of see what kind of influence we can have on those around us.
Okay, well, thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for what you do here at Southwestern. I really appreciate what you do. Appreciate your giftedness. Appreciate you being willing to hone those gifts and. I've asked you a lot of questions. Do you have anything else you want to share with the listeners today?
I don't think so. I mean, if you're looking for a youth group, we'd love to have you.
Thanks so much, Amanda. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.